The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder how safe it is to believe in God these days, even in America, the supposed Christian country. Well, God does take care of his people, but he also warns his people and challenges them to stand up for what's true. Today, we are honored with a brave pastor who was arrested for speaking out against abortion. Yes, you heard me correctly. Pastor Walter Hoy was arrested for protesting abortion. He'll be joining us along with his attorney in just a few minutes. First, some other news from the land of the free. Those who defend the appointment of Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court do so by talking out of both sides of their mouths. On one hand, they are assuring us that her ethnicity will not affect her judgment. Well, nobody ever claimed it would until we heard her say that a Latino woman will make wiser rulings than a white male. You'll have to forgive us for raising an eyebrow or two after a comment like that. In any event, we are supposed to ignore this casual, innocent remark and assume that the lady will make objective rulings unaffected by gender or race. On the other hand, we are told that having a Latino on the court brings balance. Having another female to join Ruth Bader Ginsburg also brings balance. Well, I guess I just don't understand then. If her race and gender will have nothing to do with her judgments, how exactly will she be bringing balance? But that's only one of many curiosities regarding this nightmare of an appointment. When asked for her opinion about abortion, as it would relate to serving on the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor offered a tired, classic answer that supposedly ends all discussion. Abortion is established law. Oh, well. Let's just quit talking about it then. It's established law. You know, just once, I'd like to see a follow-up question, the kind that would force people to speak their minds, or even more refreshing, speak the truth. How about this for a question? Ms. Sotomayor, inasmuch as abortion was against the law prior to 1973, had you been on the Supreme Court back then, would you have voted against Roe versus Wade since the outlaw of abortion was at that time established law? Even if people have differing views of Sonia Sotomayor's judicial philosophy, whether or not we should allow a judicial activist or a strict constructionist, how do people get around the fact that the woman has proven herself to be a downright liar? A liar who's about to be granted a lifetime appointment to our highest court in the land. She says she does not believe race plays a role in judicial wisdom, but about 9 different speeches record her saying just the opposite. She also says she does not believe our Constitution is a living document, that it should not be made subservient to international law. Sounds great. But when asked about previous contradictory words, Ms. Sotomayor offered up an Academy Award caliber performance of verbal gymnastics, which attempted to explain that she had never really said what we all heard her say. Where does she get the brass? What leads her to believe she could say all this with a straight face and get away with it? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. Her inspiration is none other than the president who appointed her. President Obama. After all, he lies through his teeth every day, and I need to be careful over the radio. So what I mean by that is he lies through his teeth every day. He lies when he says he has no desire to take over the banks. He lies when he says he has no desire to take over the auto industry. He lies when he says he has no desire to grow our government. Well, we know he's lying because we're watching him do all these things that he says he does not want to do. Still, people marvel at how polished a speaker he is and how nice he looks in his suit. Oh, yeah, and he's not George Bush. That has to count for something. May I ask you again, how do you like the change so far? It's hard to answer that question because so many things are changing simultaneously. Who can keep up with it all? There's the cap and trade bill, the health care bill, either one of which would transform this country beyond recognition. But those aren't even the bills that concern me the most. If we could at least protect our right to freedom of speech, all other travesties might eventually be overturned, and that leads to a different bill. A bill virtually nobody is talking about. Not the major networks, not the cable networks, not even a whole lot of talk radio shows. Our country is pacified right now over important stories such as Michael Jackson, joined this weekend to a lesser degree by Walter Cronkite. Well, let me tell you, folks, Jackson's death and Cronkite's death notwithstanding, something a little more life-changing is coming up. The latest version of a new upgraded hate crimes bill has already passed our House of Representatives. Before you can say dictatorship, the Senate will be voting on this same brilliant idea. I urge everyone around the country to call their senators and make it clear in no uncertain terms that they will be voted out of office if they pass this horrific piece of tyrannical legislation that shrouds itself with warm, fuzzy rhetoric such as, wah, you don't believe in hate, do you? For your information, today hate is defined as any view that disagrees with political correctness. Long before the first genius added the word hate to the word crime, it was already a crime to murder or do acts of violence against anybody, black, white, gay, or straight. Vandalism was also against the law. The motives for such actions were irrelevant. If my friend or loved one has been killed, the fact that he wasn't killed by a hateful person is not much of a consolation. A body has been buried either way. The very notion of increasing an evil butcher's penalty based upon some judge's arbitrary assessment of motives makes our justice system stand on its head and scream. For many years now, the Bob Siegel Show has been warning you with our tolerance update. That's right, it's time for another tolerance update, and this is a golden oldie because people haven't been paying attention. Remember, tolerance is the only way to bring love to the world, and what the world needs is love.
Miss Abigail, the penalty for murder in this state is life imprisonment.
Your Honor, I can assure you that this was not a hate crime. Yes, my client, Miss Abigail, killed, but she did not do it out of hate.
Is this true, Miss Abigail?
There isn't a hateful bone in my body, Your Honor. In fact, Your Honor, I'll go you one better. Not only did I not hate him, I loved him.
In that case, your life sentence has been changed to 10 years. You'll be out in 5 with good behavior.
Your Honor, did I mention that I loved him a lot?
A lot? Okay, 6 months probation and 1 week's community service. And here, I'll throw in this gift certificate for Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
Well, that's our tolerance update for today. Remember, tolerance is the only way to bring love to the world and what the world needs. Is love. Although a hate crimes bill was already passed a while back, this latest version, Hate Crime 3.0, adds a special new wrinkle, revealing the true agenda behind hate crime legislation, which many of us have been warning you about for years. Long ago, we discussed the slippery slope. We tried to tell you discussions of intent in addition to actions could one day make the actions part of the equation archaic. If we opened up Pandora's box, hate crime laws would in the end lead to hate speech laws. We told you, time and time again. Now it is actually happening. This current bill makes it a hate crime to hurt homosexuals and other people with controversial choices of sexual expression. But wait, there's more. Yes, Johnny, under this latest loony law, any words spoken or written that may have inspired a violent act against a gay person can also be viewed as a crime. This means exactly what we always feared it would mean. Your own pastor can now be arrested for merely teaching what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. Now, if that sounds paranoid and far-fetched, I remind you, that in Canada, they are beyond the term hate crime and have instead adopted a law that simply contains the term hate speech. This law forbids any critical opinion of homosexuality. By a thin thread, religious opinion is still protected in Canada, but many believe that will soon evaporate as well. Besides, one should be entitled to their own view of homosexuality, whether or not it is a religious-based opinion. The American bill does not go quite as far as Canada, at least not yet. Under our current potential rule, your pastor would only be arrested if somebody hurt or killed a homosexual and then claimed Reverend McDonald's sermon inspired him. See the trend? We went from crime to motive for the crime to some third party speech inspiring the motive for the crime. What will be next? Next, sweet Virginia, the violent act will no longer be necessary for a conviction. The pastor's speech in its own right will be against the law. I promise you, it will happen just exactly this way. You see, every time we pass such illogical legislation, we erode sensible laws an inch at a time. Ambitious future goals never seem as far-fetched when they're only one step away. People can get used to anything, even ridiculous rules. They become comfortable old leather and the frog gets boiled slowly. It will happen here as it already happened in Canada, mark my words. The only hope is for people to wake up and do the right thing. Protest this travesty, even if you have to shout it from the rooftops. Your bending over backwards has not worked. Your rolling over and playing dead has not worked. Your apologizing for the right to believe what you want to believe has not worked. Your walking on eggshells to avoid offending people has not worked. Your shyness in hopes of avoiding the label hate has not worked. And now your beliefs are being outlawed right under your own nose because the nose of our nation, with its ability to smell a rat, does not work. The agenda of successful Canadian activists is the true agenda with gay activists in America as well. They are not interested in stopping hate. They want their lifestyle affirmed by law. And in the name of tolerance, they are completely intolerant of your own opinion. You are simply not allowed to have a view that contradicts theirs. Many courageous gay people have themselves spoken out against such laws, and I applaud them for doing so. Make no mistake, this is not about hate crime. This is about thought police. Oh, what's happening to the America we grew to love?
Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike. They've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
The sound even more beautiful.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I have a couple of special guests to introduce. First, Pastor Walter Behoy II, who is both founder and president of the Issues for Life Foundation, whose mission is to raise awareness of the impact of abortion and the biblically immoral implementation of biotechnology in the African American community. Walter Hoy is also author of the book Leadership from the Inside Out and is in demand as a speaker and consultant. Back in February, Walter Hoy was actually arrested for protesting abortion. It's an honor to be joined by this brave individual. Pastor Hoy, welcome to our program.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be here.
It's good to be with you, my friend. Now, let's see, in addition to your work with Issues for Life, do I understand correctly you're still the pastor of Progressive Missionary Baptist, or is that something from your past?
No. I'm the executive elder of the Progressive Missionary Baptist Church in Berkeley, and my senior pastor is Dr. Earl C. Stuckey, Sr.
Okay, so you're kind of doing both at the same time. You must be keeping quite busy.
Very busy.
Okay. Now, this was in the city of Berkeley where this arrest happened?
No, it happened in Oakland.
Okay. And it had to do with a thing called the bubble law. Why don't you explain the bubble law and then tell us a little bit about the story?
Well, the bubble law was passed on January 15th, 2008. That's Martin Luther King's birthday. And essentially it says this, that if you're within 100 feet of an abortion clinic, the definition for harassment changes. It's not what you and I know and believe today. The definition for harassment changes to this. You can hold a sign, and you can pass out literature, and you can have a conversation, and that is now the new definition for harassment. So I was standing on a public sidewalk holding a sign that says, God loves you and your baby. I had a conversation because when the women would walk by, I would simply say, good morning, may I talk to you about alternatives to the clinic? And I had literature. I had an 800 number in case they needed some more information. And that was enough to go to jail for.
Now, when they passed this bubble law, which sounds to me more like a bubble gum law, did they regard it with other issues besides abortion? Like if some gay activists were out doing a protest or handing out literature, did they have to be away from people 100 feet? Or did they just single abortion out?
No, it's really about standing in front of an abortion clinic, and that's literally in the law. It's 100 feet in front of an abortion clinic.
Okay, so it's not one of these general laws about protesting in general.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the law even goes on to say that it doesn't apply to everybody. It only applies to those that don't have the permission of the clinic to stand on the public sidewalk.
Oh, this is such an outrage. Okay, now let's see. So you were arrested, and why don't you go through the story from there, step at a time?
Well, essentially, they came and arrested me on the public sidewalk. I had a 13-day trial. In this 13-day trial, there's not one woman testifying against me or bringing any charges against me. The escorts who are volunteers for the clinic testified that I was nice. They had never seen me use force, threat of force, or physically obstruct anybody. We had videotape, actually 4 hours of videotape, that showed the entire time I was out there for the 2 days in question, so everyone could see exactly what was going on.
And that's been placed on YouTube, has it not?
Yes, it is on YouTube. You can go see it. And we impeached the executive director of the clinic with the videotape, and perjury charges were never brought forth.
So you had a 13-day trial, and the verdict was guilty?
The verdict was guilty. They offered me 3 years of probation with a 100-yard stairway order, $1,130 fine, and 30 days in jail. I rejected the 3 years of probation and the 100-yard stairway order, and I rejected paying the fine, which only left me one option, and I volunteered to do straight time in jail.
This is really interesting. Now, why does a person reject an offer like that? It sounds like you felt you wanted to take a stand.
Absolutely. The reason why I rejected it, because this, I felt that this was an unjust law. It was just morally reprehensible. And I just don't believe that Christians should stand forth trying to obey unjust laws. And this is clearly an unjust law. We have a moral responsibility, in my opinion, to disobey unjust law.
Okay, and I want to be clear on this because I think you're a very brave individual, and I want everybody in our audience to get this. You had an opportunity to essentially get out of this with probation and a fine. You would not have had to spend one day in jail, but because of your convictions, you rejected that softer deal.
Absolutely. If I had accepted the probation, I would not have spent one day or one second in jail.
Now, how many days did you end up spending in jail?
I was sentenced to 30 and ended up only spending 19 days in jail.
Now, why did they end up reducing it to 19?
I found out that no one serves their entire time that they're being sentenced. I didn't know that until I was in jail, but it became apparent that they can sentence you to 30 or how many days in jail they want to, but you'll only serve about two-thirds of that time.
Now, what was it like in jail? Was this one of the safer minimum security jails, or were you in a dangerous place?
No, I wasn't in a dangerous place. I was in jail. That make no mistake about that. And there were some very, very close moments where violence wasn't that far from me.
You were not in a private cell. You had inmates in your cell with you?
Yes, I did. I had inmates in my cage. I was subjected to everything that anybody is subjected to in jail, the strip searching and all of that. And the 19 days that I was in there, I got a chance to do the work of the evangelist, and so we were able to reach lost souls for Christ while I was there.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you actually had some people pray to receive Christ with you while you were in there?
Yeah, we led 8 men to Christ. We mentored jailhouse preachers. We had prayer at midnight like Paul and Silas. And the last thing I did was tear down a shrine to pornography that was up in the jail.
I was going to say, the last time I read a story like that, it was in the Book of Acts with the Apostle Paul. That is wonderful. Okay, now your legal consultant is with us, too. Cameron, let's go ahead and bring him on, too. Mike Millen of the Life Legal Defense League, welcome to our program.
Good afternoon. Great to be here.
It's great to have you with us. What was your role in all of this? When were you first contacted by Walter Hoy?
Well, I was contacted right when the city of Oakland was passing what could only be termed one of the most outrageous assaults on constitutional liberties that we've seen in California for quite a while. The city of Oakland decided to pass a law that would criminalize anyone who approached a woman outside of an abortion clinic within 8 feet. But that means if you want to hand out a piece of literature and you want to be still as a potted plant, that's fine. But if you actually want to have the opportunity to try and effectively give her a document that she can look at, you're in trouble if you move those feet. And so it was just crazy.
Okay, we want to hear more about this assault to free speech. Gentlemen, hang with me over the break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle, so when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with a very brave individual, and I'm telling you, I am so honored. From the first time I heard about this fellow, I have wanted him on my show, Pastor Walter Hoy, who was arrested for protesting abortion, and his attorney, Mike Millen. Mike and Pastor Hoy, welcome back to our program.
Great to be here.
Mr. Millen, you were about to explain why this is unconstitutional. I guess the first thing that jumps to everybody's mind is our Constitution gives us the right to assemble.
Well, yes. What happened is in the year 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court decided, made a very terrible decision in a very close case called Hill versus Colorado, where the state of Colorado passed a law that had some similarities to Oakland's law. But whereas the Supreme Court kind of reluctantly said, well, I guess there is an interest in letting women kind of be left alone in front of abortion clinics, as long as people are able to get their literature out, then, you know, and people have other ways to communicate, I guess this infringement of rights is okay. We'll ramp it up to the year 2008. Now we have Planned Parenthood's minions who get this, quadruple team Walter. What I mean is, two of them would hold signs in front of Walter. Two more would go up to the woman as she was getting near the clinic and say, oh, you don't have to listen to him. And so unlike the Hill case where the Supreme Court said, look, it's probably a nice kind of quiet sidewalk and people can talk and it's no big deal, what you actually have in the city of Oakland is quadruple teaming Walter to where he could never get his message out. And we said, time out. This is not Colorado. This is not theoretical. Remember, Colorado was a facial challenge. There were no facts on the ground, just the way the law was written. We actually got the police chief to admit that pro-abortion escorts have a different set of free speech rights than pro-lifers. He said, yeah, that's the way, that is the law. That's the way the law is written. So we've taken this to federal judge Charles Breyer in the United States District Court in San Francisco. We are going to do some more briefing next week, and we hope within a few weeks to have an order about whether or not this outrageous law is going to continue to stop good people like Walter Hoy from simply giving the most basic of alternatives. And I'll tell you, the difference between, I always joke with people, the difference between Walter Hoy and me is that Walter is a really, really nice guy.
He seems like a nicer guy than me, I'll tell you that.
You know, I'm just some attorney, whatever. But to pass this law that stops Walter Hoy from having a sign, now I hope you're holding on to your seat there, it said, it basically said, you know, God loves you and your baby, let us help. That just black letters scrawled on a white sign. For that message, the city of Oakland, the fathers over there were up in arms.
And this is what they called harassment.
Exactly. That's defined as harassment.
Now, this challenging to the constitutionality of this law, was this before or after Walter was arrested?
Both.
So you were in the process of challenging it even before?
Yes, and understand, this is what's very interesting, is the first time they passed it, they had a little exception, which is, if the speech is designed to dissuade women, then it's illegal speech. In other words, if it wasn't trying to dissuade women from having an abortion, it was okay.
Oh, so if he had had a sign that said, it's your body, it's your choice, he could have been within less than 100 feet of her, and that would have been fine.
No problem. And so we brought this up. The city attorney defended it, and at a hearing, even the judge said, wait a minute, I have two pieces of paper. One says, go in. The other says, don't go in. You mean I go to jail depending on which one I give out? So the city attorney got the light and said, okay, we're not going to enforce it. We're going to change the law. So they stopped it. They stopped the law. They paid us our attorney's fees. You know, City of Oakland has one of the highest murder rates in the United States. And instead of spending their money on, you know, trying to stop that, they're paying me to point out to them the basic constitutional problems with their crummy legislation. Anyways, the irony should not be lost on the taxpayer.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be surprised in this age of foolishness that we live in.
So then they rewrite the law. And this time, it's not quite as bad. It's still very bad, but you can't read it immediately and figure out how bad it is, and that's what we're waiting for Judge Breyer to rule on.
And what are your predictions about this ruling? Are you optimistic?
You know what? It is impossible to say. We went to this hearing, and the judge had not looked at the videotape of the escorts harassing Walter. And in fact, that's why we even had videotape out there in the first place. It was because we said, look, these escorts are doing terrible things to Walter. What can we do to try and protect Walter? We have the idea, wait a minute, we can go ahead and get a restraining order against the escorts. And that's the reason we had this in the first place, the videotape fellow out there. So, you know, who would have thought that it would have led to all this?
Okay, let's make sure we've got all our facts here. So there's this law, this bubble law, that says you can't be within 100 feet, but he's still allowed to have a sign. He's still allowed to talk to people from 100 feet. But then when he's trying to do this, in a sense, he is being harassed because people are blocking him visually, and then they're walking up to the woman, and they're saying you don't have to listen to them. This sounds very much like when conservative speakers go out to universities and they just get shouted down, and the people who shout say, well, I have a right to freedom of speech, too.
Well put. That's exactly right.
Well, freedom of speech does not include thwarting somebody else's right to freedom of speech. Let's bring Pastor Hoy back on. What first got you charged about the issue of abortion? How long has this been a burning issue for you?
Well, this has been a burning issue for me since the birth of my son, who was born 2 pounds and 1 ounce. And he went down to 1.9, and that day they were telling us that he would not survive the day. And so I was holding my son in the palm of my hand like you would a pen or a pencil. And essentially at that moment, God revealed to me that what's on the inside of a woman is a live, living, breathing human being. And from that moment on, I've never been in doubt about what abortion is.
What are your thoughts about our new judge coming up when she says abortion is the law of the land? And that's pretty much all she has to say about
it. I am wholeheartedly hoping and praying that she won't be confirmed. She is so mistaken about it, and I really can't understand how particularly a woman who knows that this is a child on the inside of her would be willing to subject this child to prenatal murder.
And we have a president who voted against the Illinois Infant Protection Act, which wasn't even about abortion. That was about infanticide.
I can't imagine anybody being more heartless than that. We're talking about a child that survives an act of murder, attempted murder. The child survives it. And instead of giving the child just basic medical attention, we'd rather let the child die on the table. I just can't imagine something more heartless than that.
It seems that in years gone by, there was discussion about whether the unborn fetus is a life or not a life. But hasn't it been absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by medical science that this is a life? And aren't the pro-choice communities stripping away the argument about whether it's life and just arguing quality of life instead?
Oh, absolutely. We almost have no more discussion about whether it's a life or not. The pro-abortion community agrees that, yes, it is a baby. It is life. They just feel that they need the right to kill the child.
And this just shows how things can be eroded a step at a time, because a number of years ago, their whole argument was that it was not a life, or that it couldn't be proven that it's a life. Now they stipulate that it is, and they're essentially saying, so what?
Absolutely. Their true colors are showing now. We were hoping that essentially once we could recognize it was a child, you could see the ultrasound, the biological evidence is extremely clear. There's no doubt about it being a child. Instead, we're hearing now we really don't care that it's a baby. We just need to have the right to kill it.
Okay, my guest, Pastor Walter B. Hoy, and his attorney, Mike Millen. We'll be right back.
How many times have you heard the phrase, they're all the same, applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jacksonville, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuild." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuildInc.com. That's ProBuildInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuild.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to our program. Once again, my guest is Pastor Walter Hoy, founder and president of the Issues for Life Foundation, whose mission is to raise awareness of the impact of abortion and the biblically immoral implementation of biotechnology in the African-American community, and Mike Millen, who's representing him in a very interesting case where he violated a law, but a law that is being challenged as being unconstitutional. Pastor Hoy, could you share us a little bit about your testimony and background, how you came to Christ in the first place?
Well, I came to Christ at a young age, actually in Detroit, Michigan, at a church called Hartford Avenue Baptist Church. And I was sitting in the front pew, I remember, and the preacher was preaching so well. And I essentially, as a young man, I asked God, could I believe what the preacher said about Jesus? Could I believe that Jesus loved me like he did? And that was the second time I actually heard God's voice. He actually said, yes, you can believe it. My son does love you. And at that point, I just stood straight up and gave my heart to God and gave my hand to the preacher. And I've been saved and in the Baptist church ever since.
How many years have you been in the full-time ministry now?
I've been paid full-time ministry since about 1999, 2000.
Okay. And then volunteer ministry before that, I take it.
Oh, well, that goes back to the 80s. I accepted my call to preach in the very early 80s, so it's been over 20-some years now.
What are some of the other issues besides abortion that burn on your mind these days that you think are just critical?
I'm very much concerned about the embryonic stem cell research issue. I'm concerned about euthanasia. We're talking about just eliminating the life of seniors.
Back
to that quality of life issue that you're talking about.
Yeah, it seems like even in this new health care bill, people, of course, the thing is over 1,000 pages long, so who could read it? But they're actually talking about telling senior citizens that they're not going to be entitled to certain operations because they've lived their life. That's about as close to euthanasia as we've ever come.
Oh, absolutely. The church where I'm at, it's mostly older folk, and the seniors are very concerned about that. They're not in agreement that the quality of life issue is really the issue for them. They want to be treated just like any other person, and they want to be able to go to their doctor, realizing that their doctor is going to do everything they can to help them live. So they're not comfortable with this quality of life philosophy.
Well, we've been on this slippery slope for a long time, it seems. It started by saying that the unborn baby doesn't have any rights, and then it went on to physician-assisted suicide, which granted was for people making a choice. And it seems that what's missing in the middle is the next piece will be that society will come along and say, it takes a village, and you've lived your life, and we're going to be making decisions on behalf of other people. I mean, I think we could see this coming with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, it's not a question of if it's coming. It is coming, and in a very real sense, it's already ready here. If a society is comfortable with literally killing a baby inside the womb of his or her mother, there really isn't much else that a society is not willing to do. Everybody is up for grabs at that point.
They say a country will be judged according to the way it treats its weakest citizens. And if that doesn't apply to an unborn child, what does it apply to?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
It seems like the whole Terri Schiavo thing brought this out, when a judge wouldn't even allow children to go into the hospital and give her cold ice cubes to keep her alive.
That story has just broke my heart. I had a chance to meet Bobby not so long ago. And to listen to that story again, it just goes to show you that, Bob, everything you said is absolutely true. We are a society. We have come to this point in time. And if we don't stand up as Christians and really make ourselves known in the public square, I shudder to think of what tomorrow will look like.
Yeah, and it seems like Terri Schiavo was kind of an awakening for our country, but people didn't realize that those kinds of infanticide euthanasia decisions had been going on in hospitals for years, as far back as 1983. Remember the baby Jane Doe case, where there was a child born with Down syndrome and the parents decided they didn't want to keep the child? There was a sign put right on top of the baby's crib saying, "Do not feed." This is an absolute outrage.
This is an absolute outrage. You can't tell me that you love humanity and you are so willing to take away life. This is just insane. And I'm sure hoping that the fellows in the pulpit and the church, the Christians, would just wake up and realize that we are on this slippery slope that you're talking about.
Pastor Hoy, how do you respond when people counter with the argument of choice? When I listen to the left, I don't see a whole lot of choice that they want us to have. It seems that the choice to kill babies is just about the only choice they want us to have. They don't want us to choose what to eat, what to drink, what to listen to on the radio, what opinions to have about issues like homosexuality. This one choice they're standing for is the choice to kill an unborn baby.
Absolutely. Most of the people, when I'm, particularly when I'm on the sidewalk, and they'll say it's her choice or it's just a choice, I simply make them complete the sentence. It's her choice to kill the child inside her womb. And people have a hard time saying that. You see, none of us, well, I would imagine only a few of us, but most of us believe that nobody has the right to take the life of an innocent child. And you just can't get more innocent than the child in the womb. And so I actually try to make them actually think about what they're saying, a choice to do what.
Well, in fact, isn't it true that if a mother smokes or drinks and then the child is born with some kind of malformed illness, the mother can actually be prosecuted for having endangered her unborn fetus? But if she wants to make a choice to go ahead and kill the baby, then that's another whole story.
Unbelievably true. You know, it's just amazing. She could smoke a cigarette, take a drink, and then be brought up on charges. But when it comes to killing the boy or the girl inside her womb, her own baby, there's no problem with that.
What's also chilling is when you listen to some of the people talk from Planned Parenthood, I hear them say they'd like to see the law in America someday like it is in China, where in China, by law, you have to have an abortion after you've had one child. So if that ever happens here in America, that word choice is going to go right out the window. There will be no choice about it whatsoever.
Oh, we're coming to that. We're already seeing sex selection abortions as well as race-targeted abortions.
Okay, hang on with me for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Good projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Osso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Osso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Osso Miller Pacific. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with Pastor Walter Hoy, who peacefully protested at an abortion clinic. Everybody around said he was peaceful, loving, kind, friendly, nice guy. It was even filmed. You can go to YouTube. You can see what a nice guy he was. He was arrested anyway. And joining us also is Mike Millen of the Life Legal Defense League. They're challenging this bubble law, as they called it, to not be within 100 feet of somebody as being unconstitutional. And even when he was trying to abide by it, they wouldn't let him talk anyway. They blocked him. They walked up to the women he was trying to talk to. They essentially did what they do at universities. They shouted him down. I'll put out this question for both of you. What kind of support have you been getting from the people, both for the arrest and for the attempts to overturn this ruling?
Interesting enough, a lot of people have come and then talk to me about their First Right Amendments. They are very concerned that they're losing their constitutionally guaranteed First Amendment right. And so this is an issue that we've been talking about quite a bit. And so much so, Bob, you ought to know that on the 27th of this month, I'm going to be back in court again because this law allows the city of Oakland to punish somebody twice for the same offense. So people are very concerned.
You're
about
kidding me. Wait a minute. In what way are they going to punish you twice?
Mike, are you there?
Yeah, sure am. To be exact, what we can certainly say is this. The judge who oversaw the criminal case, of course, no longer has jurisdiction. You know, if you supposedly commit a crime, you're punished, you do your time. It's even on appeal, and so you think that's the end of it. Well, this judge made a statement in court the other day that because this particular law allows for civil remedies, in other words, remedies that allow an aggrieved person to go ahead and file some sort of a civil lawsuit, because of that, the judge went on to reason, if you want to call it that, he says he has jurisdiction to permanently ban Walter from enjoying any First Amendment rights within 100 yards of the clinic. Now, I don't think the law allows him to do that, but that doesn't necessarily stop the folks who are in power from doing it, at least try it to.
So he says he could permanently ban him from being within 100 yards. Wasn't that what the bubble law was anyway, or is this somehow going beyond that?
Well, the bubble law was a little bit different. It stopped from being within 100 yards inside that whole zone. There's an 8-foot bubble that starts to attack.
Oh, I see. So this just puts him outside the clinic altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what can people do? What if people want to get behind this and support it? What could somebody listening right now do to help out?
Well, I'll tell you, from the legal standpoint, while of course you can, you know, support any good organization, there's lots of them that does this kind of work. This is not the only battle we're in. I mean, if there's anything, if your listeners could just understand that what we really are in right now is the beginning stages, and Walter and I were talking about this the other day, of being squeezed like a python. You know, when that python first gets around you, it's a little uncomfortable, but you think, I bet I can handle this. I bet I can live with this. And then after about three or four squeezes and suddenly you're having trouble breathing, you figure out it's over. So if your folks would just be on the lookout for laws in their area that are trying to do this, if some good men and women would run for office, if they would just give a little tiny bit of their income to organizations that support legal challenges against unjust laws, it'd be a world of difference. And that's just speaking on the legal side. I know on the actually going doing the pro-life side, Walter's probably got a bunch of ideas.
It seems to me that the church is getting used to having their rights slowly squeezed away from them. They're getting very comfortable with it. They're getting used to practically apologizing for being Christians and rolling over backwards to not offend people.
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of the problem. That's a huge problem in the African-American community. The pulpit has been way too silent upon this issue. So I'm encouraging people to go to your pastor and ask him where he stands on these issues and ask him why isn't he preaching about this from the pulpit. I would have no problem coming to wherever you are and getting something together where we can talk more about this, because I found out that once we broach the subject, it's out now. People want to talk about it. People want to get involved. And so the more we talk about this, the better.
Walter, why do you suppose most pastors haven't wanted to talk about this kind of stuff?
To be honest with you, Bob, it's financial. The pastor's got to make a decision between money and mission. And unfortunately, some of the guys are choosing the money over the mission.
Money in the sense that they don't want to offend people who might stop coming to church and stop tithing?
Well, here in the Protestant church, you can be voted out of office that Sunday, right after you preach. And so essentially abortion is just one of those kind of issues that has the potential to split a church or to relieve you of your job. And so these fellas are dealing with those kind of issues.
Now, were the people in your church involved with the whole Proposition 8 issue as well?
Oh yes. We were very much in support of what we did. It was a great victory for us, and particularly in my church. We supported the efforts, you know, like Pastor Jim Garlow down there in San Diego, Miles McPherson, all those big warriors down there did a fantastic job, and we supported those efforts.
Walter, I hope you don't mind me asking this question, but you seem like a very wise man, and I think our audience could benefit. When people compare the whole Prop 8 thing and gay marriage to civil rights, I would think that as an African-American, you might have some feelings about that.
Yes, Bob. I'm offended by that. For me, as an African-American, someone's sexual preference is just not the same thing as the color of my skin. You may choose who you want to sleep with, but I'm going to wake up black today, tomorrow, forever. It's not the same thing. And it's highly offensive to equate somebody's sexual preference with the civil rights issue.
I think more people need to hear that message, because didn't the African-American community just come out in swarms and vote that issue down?
Well, they did. That's one of the things that I'm really proud about. We came out, we really voted that down again and again and again. And it's very clear. Anyone actually looking at the civil rights movement, looking at African-Americans fighting for personhood, if you will, can easily see that what the homosexual community is asking for is just not the same thing. It's not a civil rights issue. If you want to have sex with someone of the same sex as you are, that's your choice, that's your decision, but it's not a civil rights issue.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that you're not an Obama supporter. It doesn't sound like you're in too much agreement with any of his issues.
No, I'm not. I am not an Obama supporter. I pray for the man, but I do protest his mission.
Did you get much flack from the African-American community as like being some kind of traitor or something for not voting for Obama?
Oh, yes, I do. You can imagine that. What is it, about 98% of African-Americans in the country voted for our President Barack Obama? And I'm one of the few that did not. But I tell you, being in office in less than 100 days, I've had members of my church come up to me and say, Walter, I apologize. I should have listened to you. but I let my racial prejudice and my hatred make that decision for me, and I'm sad I did.
So there were a good many people right from your own congregation that still voted for him?
Yes.
And yet, isn't it kind of interesting that a lot of the people who voted for Proposition 8 voted for a president who, if he gets a chance, will overturn Proposition 8?
Absolutely. Again, that goes back to the silence in the pulpit. We need to just tell the truth, speak the truth in love, and just preach it. These are moral issues, and I felt that if we did that, 98% of us would not have voted for President Barack Obama.
Walter B. Hoy, you are a brave individual. Mike Millen, thank you also for joining us. We'll see you again next week, everybody. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.